Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, give us good instruction from your word. And, Lord, we are thankful, dear God, that no matter what you've asked us to face in this life, Lord, that if we are children of God, we do not have to face anything alone. We've never had to, Lord, endure a storm by ourselves or walk through a dark valley by ourselves, Lord. Lord, even when we think we are alone, thank you for being there. And I pray, dear God, that you'll encourage your children. If there's someone here this morning that's trying to live this life, dear God, without Jesus as their Savior, I pray, dear Lord, that they'd be saved today and realize, dear God, the help and the blessing that comes with salvation just in having a relationship with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on a subject that I've preached on probably about every other year, and it seems like the Lord stirs it up in my heart again. And I first of all preached this message that I'm going to preach to you this morning and tonight. I think I preached it over the course of about three or four Sunday mornings, and we're going to kind of shorten it up a little bit and compact it a little bit so that we can get it into a day. But there's an increasing amount, it seems like, of Christians that seemed like, because of everything that the devil's throwing at us in these last days and because of the climate and the culture and the pressures, there's just more and more Christians that I sense are being overwhelmed. And that's the word I want to focus on. Say, preacher, is that a Bible word? Oh, that's a Bible word. Psalms 55:5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Psalm 77:3, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. By the way, this is written by one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the face of the earth, folks. And it's not backslidden people that get overwhelmed. It's some of God's choicest servants that get overwhelmed at times. Psalm 78:53, and he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Psalms 124:4, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Boy, isn't that interesting? Psalms 142:3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path and the way wherein I walked. Have they privily laid a snare for me? Psalms 143:4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. Now there's three key chapters, and you know what, folks, I'm going to give you good information, and we'll go through many of these verses both this morning and tonight. But there's three chapters that you need to make note of in your Bible. I would somewhere in the front cover of my Bible put the word overwhelmed, or where to go when I'm overwhelmed. And there's three psalms that are absolutely designed to help Christians when they get into that situation. Psalms 55, we read part of that this morning. Psalms 61, Psalms 55 describe to us the condition of being overwhelmed. Psalm 61, how to have victory over being overwhelmed. Look right up here, let me help you. Listen, it's going to happen to all of us. When I describe it, you're going to look back and see it at times in your life, or you may be there right now. But listen to me. All of us are going to be overwhelmed, but God does not intend for us to live in that condition. And God does offer an answer, and you can have victory. And I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. Then Psalms 143, and I call that the prayer of the overwhelmed. We'll end the message pointing you to that prayer and then pick up from that point on with the rest of the message tonight. This morning I'm going to preach on what does it mean to be overwhelmed? What does it mean to be overwhelmed? Tonight I'm going to preach on what to do when you are overwhelmed. what to do when you are overwhelmed. What does the word overwhelmed mean, preacher? It's very interesting as you study the Hebrew word, the root word, that's translated in our King James Bible, the word overwhelmed. Now think about this, and I think that you'll get a sense of where we're going. The word means to shroud or to clothe. And it really comes with the idea of that producing a darkness. And when I talk about shroud, I want you to imagine that somebody takes a heavy wool blanket and just slowly descends it over, I mean a large blanket, and you're standing there, and it slowly descends over your entire body to the point where all of a sudden you can see nothing but darkness. And you know what, kids, every one of you as a young person at some point in time was playing around with your friends or brothers and sisters, and you put a blanket over your head like that. And you know, one of the things that you that happens almost immediately is that you lose a lot of your sense of where you're at. It's easy to stumble. It's easy to fall. You get disoriented. You don't know where the kitchen is and where the living room is, and you get turned around, and then there's darkness, and you can't see. What an accurate word here to describe what happens when we're overwhelmed, to shroud, to clothe, hence the idea of darkness, to languish, to be covered over, to fail, to faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. Now I want to again reemphasize something. I think a lot of times when people are going through something like this, the first thing that they do is to say, well, you know what, I must have done something wrong, and maybe God is angry with me. And let me just say this, look up here, and let's all be honest about something. If everything you've ever gone through, not one of them has been chastisement, then you're not a child of God. And a lot of times I watch God trying to chastise somebody, and you know what they do? They want to come back to me and say, preacher, pray for me because I'm going through a trial. I'm like Job. Well, you may be. But I also want you to recognize that the first thing that every single one of us ought to check when we're going through times like this is God trying to get my attention about something? Is there a sin in my life that I've been stubbornly resistant to making right and getting right? And is God just, you know what, folks, listen to me. God's a good father. And you know what? Sometimes he takes the paddle out, and sometimes he whoops us a little bit. He doesn't do it because he hates us. He does it because he loves us. But I don't think we should always just dismiss every trial and every burden and every tribulation, every time where we feel an absence of the presence of God as, boy, I'm just a righteous person going through a tough time. I think we ought to always say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Are you with me here? Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Because I found out this. If you'll ask the Holy Spirit in all honesty, Lord, are you trying to get my attention about something? You know what? The Holy Spirit is not shy about taking his finger and pointing right at it. And you know what? Sometimes the answer is going to be no, son. No. This isn't, what I'm making you go through right now isn't because of some sin in your life. And we can go through all the Bible and see where we have people that's right smack in the middle of the will of God. And I mean serving God that still went through some awfully difficult times. And sometimes God's going to say, no, it's not that I'm trying to get your attention about something. I'm just, listen, folks, the only way for the dross to be purified out of the gold is for it to go into the fire. And you know what, folks, listen, God is going to at times ask us to go through some things that will make us better for him. And if all we had was mountaintops and sunshine, we'd never be what we could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes life just is overwhelming. I could take you to three different places where Moses, folks, good. Now we're talking about Moses, one of the greatest leaders in the Bible, where three different times I could take you to a point of despair where he literally looked to God and requested that God would end his life. Think about that. How about Elijah? I mean, he walks off of Mount Carmel, having just called down fire from heaven. And by the middle of the next chapter, he's in a fetal position by the river, just saying, God, let me die, let me die. And we're talking about great Christians here. By the way, study this matter of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, we're talking about the Son of God. Yeah, he was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. And you know what? He was 100% God and 100% man. And you study that out, what happened in Gethsemane when he went there and begged his disciples, please tarry and pray for me. And he went a little ways farther and fell down. And when he began to sweat those great drops of blood, folks, listen to me, study that thing out. That oftentimes happens and precedes somebody dying of a broken heart. Jesus was at the point of utter despair. He looked to his disciples. He said, please pray with me. He was doing such battle. I mean, talking about spiritual battle in that garden, that you know what, Jesus, by the way, that's why the Bible says that we have a high priest that was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Why are you sharing that with me? I'm not trying to make Jesus seem any less God than he was. I am doing us all a favor to let us know that while when in times where we are overwhelmed, we can go to a Savior that says, I know what you're feeling. I know what you've been. I know what it is to be all by myself. I know what it is to feel like I was forsaken. I knew what it is to feel like that you know what, my life, I couldn't go another minute. I couldn't go another day. I couldn't take another step. I know. And you know what, by the way, folks, he got up out of that garden. And he, you know what, he took a beating. And he picked up a cross. And he walked up Gonk off this hill. And you know what, we ought to learn from that is, you know what, no matter how bad it gets, you know what, God can give us the strength to do what we need to do and to go on for him and accomplish God's will for our life too. You think about the Apostle Peter, I could tell you about that. You think about the Apostle Paul. I'm talking about some of the greatest Christians in the Bible where I can take you to places where they had met with utter despair. And I can tell you, honestly, I could spend the rest of this morning's message talking about illustrations of preachers and pastors, friends, and people that I've counseled with, and not just people in full-time ministry, but sometimes some of God's choicest lay people. I'm talking about bus captains and Sunday school teachers, and I'm talking about people that love God and are trying to serve God, but you know what? Just life at times comes in like a tidal wave, and they face a tsunami of difficulties and situations, and they get to that point of just utter despair, and they've stumbled into my office, and sometimes I've had to go to them because they aren't coming to me, but I can see that something's going on, and you know what, folks, it's still things we're being dealt with today. I've had many a missionary sit at my table, me and Cheryl, after they've presented here and did everything they could to put a presentation on about what God's doing in their life and the mission field they're going to, and yet sit at our table and share personal heartache and tragedy that makes me wonder, how can they keep going on? How do they do this? If I wanted to, I could open some of the chapters of my life and tell you that although I feel so blessed, it's ridiculous, and I always tell this, I'm ashamed to complain about anything. God's been so good to me. But you know what? The honest truth is there's nobody in this room that hasn't dodged this if you've been, say, very, very long. And so we're talking about this idea of being overwhelmed. Now stay with me, folks, because God understands that we're going to face this. Well, preacher, okay, I understand about the shroud and the cloth and the darkness and the languish and the disorientation and the feelings of failing and fainting. And I'm beginning to understand that, but could we look at some of the symptoms from the Bible? Look in Psalms 55. I'm going to describe this in more minute detail. I want you to understand, some of you that are facing this now, or you have faced it, and you maybe have quietly thought to yourself, am I the only one that's ever felt like this? Am I a failure as a Christian? What is wrong with me? I want you to understand one of the greatest Christians in all of the Bible, King David, at times was overwhelmed. Psalms 55:1, notice this. Here's some of the symptoms of being overwhelmed, of being shrouded in darkness. Number one, you become convinced that you're divinely forsaken. What does that mean? That means you become convinced that God's forgotten about you. Psalms 55:1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Now, why would David pray that if he didn't feel like God was hiding himself? You know what he was saying? He was saying, you know, I don't know why, but I can't seem to find you, God. It's almost like the more I reach out, the harder it is, and the more I call out, the louder the silence gets, and it's almost like, God, you're playing a game of hide and seek with me. And you begin to become convinced in your heart that God's forgotten me, and God's forsaken me. God's turned his back on me for some reason. Of course, folks, you know that the devil's always right there whispering in your ear how God doesn't care about you. And I'm talking about just the first symptom. Number two, utter sadness and despair. Look at verse number 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten to the point where you've mourned or been in such despair that you understand what it says there when it says that you make a noise. But I've literally listened to people moan. I've literally been privy to watching people struggle with what's going on inside of them to the point where they can't put anything into words. But all I can say this is a noise comes out, and it's the noise of despair. And you know what? Utter sadness. I mourn in my complaint. Preacher, I don't understand it. You know, I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to be faithful. I try to read the Bible. I try to pray. But I feel like God's kind of turned his back on me and forsaken me. And there's a sadness. I mean, you know, I look around and I have reasons to rejoice. I know I do. And I try to focus on them and think about them. But I just feel like there's a sadness and a despair. And preacher, the honest truth is sometimes I can't put it into words, but from me literally comes a moaning or a groaning of my soul, a vexation of spirit. And that's verse number two. How about this one? Number three, believing, you begin to believe that everyone is against you. And notice what it says in Psalms 55:3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Do you notice that? They hate me. Down in the farther into the verse, and you look in verse 9 and on through verse 15, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Night and day they go about it. Upon the walls thereof mischief also, and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof, deceit and guile depart not from the streets, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. Now watch this, folks. Not only is David dealing with the feeling of God forsaking him and dealing with the feeling of an unexplainable sadness and despair in their heart, but soon that begins to translate and affect the relationship of the people around them. And they begin to believe that, yeah, my enemies are against me, but even the people that are my friends are against me. Sometimes it's because people that do love you and do care about you just don't know how to help you. And so they don't know what to say. But increasingly, you begin to think that people are against you. I think he's upset with me. I just think he, you know what? I mean, I was here last week and he walked by and he usually stops and he didn't. And let me just say this, I'm going to do that to everybody sooner or later in this church. I promise you, it's not because I'm mad at you. It's usually that I'm on an errand, or I've got to find somebody, or I got to get a question answered. And I apologize, but the honest truth is, if I followed you through the church, you probably passed somebody from time to time and failed to speak to them. So let's all show a little grace to each other. But folks, when you're into this situation, you translate every action as a negative. All of a sudden, your wife's not the same, and the kids aren't the same towards you, and the church members aren't the same towards you. And again, don't you think the devil jumps on this? And don't you think he begins to whisper things? And pretty soon, folks, I mean, we are imagining things that aren't even happening. Walk into the foyer, you know, and you come into church, and you're under this shroud. Now, listen to me. I'm just telling you the facts of it. I'm not putting you down. I'm telling you the facts of it. When you're under a shroud, when you're overwhelmed like this, you can walk into the church and see two guys over in the corner talking to each other and become convinced that they're talking about you. And they're probably just the pastor's prayer team meeting over there praying for the service. But boy, the devil says, see, they're whispering about you right there. You just walked in the door. Look at that. They glanced over and started talking. So they got to be talking. Isn't it crazy where we go when we get like this? And folks, next thing you know, people that are really your friends, you think are your enemies. And David's even to the point where he's praying that God would kill some of them. I mean, folks, good night. And next thing, what I'm saying is these are symptoms, and God's allowing us to watch and take a look into the heart of David. How about this, number four? Look at verse number four, physical maladies. Verse number four, my heart is sore pained within me. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I've watched this, and I'm going to help you with something real quickly here, and I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't give medical advice, but I am a preacher, and I believe in the Bible. And I believe a lot of our spiritual situations, and sometimes when we're going through these type of situations in our life where we are being spiritually overwhelmed, What we don't begin to understand is that this does, folks, this situation will begin to affect us physically. And folks will sometimes, you know, says my heart is sore pain within me. All of a sudden, he's got heart pains. And you know what you're supposed to do if you start having heart pains? You're supposed to go see a doctor. Amen. That's a wise thing to do. Please do that. Please. But you know what? He goes and sees the doctor. And they do the EKG and they do everything else. And they check everything. And they've run every test they can run. And they walk in and they say, there's nothing wrong with you. Well, that doctor's a quack. I'll go find another doctor. And you go to five or six doctors. And after a while, they're all looking at you. And they're saying, you know, there's nothing. You know, well, I have this symptom, I have this symptom, and I have this symptom. Now, watch this, folks. Sometimes what's going on physically is real, and they just haven't found the answer. I'm going to suggest something to you. Listen to me. I can back it up with the Bible. Sometimes what's happening in our bodies is a reflection of our situation and where we're at spiritually. And listen, I'm telling you this. Demonic attacks against Christian people sometimes play out in physical maladies that have no medical explanation. Now, let me just help you with something. Look right up here at this man here, and you know, I'm not bragging, I'm not complaining. Like Brother Hamlin said, I'm telling the truth. I know what I'm talking about when I talk about this. You don't become the tip of the spear for a ministry and do it for as long as I've done it and not understand the way the devil attacks. And I'm telling you, if it happens to the preacher, it happens to the people that are serving God also. And what you've got to understand sometimes is, you know, all of a sudden, now this is physical attacks. How about, let me read out of Psalm 77:4. Psalm 77:4, thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled I cannot speak. Here's what happened. All of a sudden, you've got physical problems that are showing up that has no explanation, no medical explanation, and you get sleeplessness. Now, if these things happen all separate from time to time, I don't want you to feel like it's always, well, I'm overwhelmed. But if all of these things start happening simultaneously, you're experiencing what David experienced here. And there are just times that the circumstance of life, accompanied with satanic attack in your life, can produce a situation of despair and hopelessness. And folks, look at me. Don't tell me that depression's not real. I don't think the Bible word is depression. I think that it's this matter of being overwhelmed. But it's the very, very much the same thing. And again, there's help coming. There's help coming. And I want you to understand, listen, you're not the only one that's ever been there. And preacher, I'm afraid to even talk about it because I think that nobody's going to understand. You know what? Talk about it and you know what you'll find out? Most people do understand. Because they don't want to talk about it either, but there ain't too many of us that haven't been there. And all of a sudden, I'm not talking about having a little bit of a bad day. I'm not talking about getting one piece of bad news. I'm not talking about, you know what, I missed Bible reading that day, so I just didn't do as well spiritually. I'm talking about the shroud descending upon your life. And the darkness cut me. And I'm talking about to the point where you can't seem to find God, and you've got a sadness and a despair that's in your heart that no matter what you do to distract yourself, you can't seem to ever quite shake it. And this begins to affect real relationships with people that you know love you. But all of a sudden, nothing's right. And then next thing you know, we're talking about the physical attacks with no doctor's explanation, physical maladies, sleeplessness. How about this? Psychological maladies. Look again in verse number 4 of 55, chapter 55. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Now think about that. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not. I've talked to Christians where I come to, and you know what? They're in the middle of a spiritual battle, and they're in the middle of some satanic oppression in their life, and they've had several circumstances go wrong against them, and they literally look at me and say, preacher, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. And that's what he says here. The terrors of death are falling upon me. I said, why do you think you're going to die? I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to die. And you say, preacher, that's irrational. You know what? Throw a heavy blanket over your head and spin your life around. And you know what? You get pretty disoriented. And I'm talking about real life stuff here, folks, okay? Fear and trembling, verse number 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. And all of a sudden, people, the world wants to call them panic attacks. But, you know, I don't know. You ever had a panic attack? Went to the doctor. Doctor looked at everything and said, you know, there's nothing wrong. But all of a sudden, you're frightened, and there's no reason to be frightened. Have you ever looked down and you're physically trembling, and you look around and there's no cause, there's no reason I ought to feel like, why do I feel so uneasy right now? And isn't it great that God let David, the king of Israel, the man after God's own heart, be transparent enough to say, hey, I went through all of this. I went through all of this. I've known all of these things. Look at verse number 6 and 8, verse 6 through 8, the desire to flee and hide. And this is a lot of times where it becomes dangerous, folks, because we're not in a good place to make decisions, but we want to make life-changing decisions at times like this. Look at verse 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. And you know what? The only answer we can come to when we're in times like this is, if I just need to get away. We're just going to move. We're just going to go somewhere else. We're just going to, you know, that desire to go to the wilderness. I am moving to Rifle, Colorado. You say, where is there really a town called Rifle, Colorado? Yeah, I found it on the map. What were you looking at a map of Colorado, and why did you find Rifle, Colorado? Because that's my, I'm going to go away one of these days and hide there forever place. And by the way, it's a beautiful place. It's a cool place. Who wouldn't, as a guy, want to live in Rifle, Colorado? It just sounds cool. I'm going to go there. I'm going to change my name to John Wayne. I'm just going to start over. I, you know what? Everybody hates me. God has forgotten about me. This is driving me nuts. I'm going to die if I don't get out of here. I'm losing my mind. Come on. There's not a Christian in here that's lived their life very long that haven't found themselves in that situation. And by the way, please listen to what I'm going to say next. I have watched so many Christians at that point in the crucible of life just make irrational, foolish decisions and leave the will of God and get out of the will of God in just a moment of desperation. And let me tell you this, folks. You, listen, running, you know this. In a rational moment, your preacher don't even have to say this, but running from your problems doesn't solve your problems. And you know, the honest truth is everything that's wrong, you'll take with you. Because honestly, it's more in here than it is out there. I'm not saying there aren't some circumstances that are exasperating it. But you know what? God doesn't bring us to that place so that we'll cut and run. God brings us to that place so that we can find him in a way we've never found him before. And that's where the answer is. And that's where we're going to go tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and give, I got a 10-point sermon tonight. So I've got to give you at least the first three real quickly this morning, okay? So, preacher, what do I do? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm overwhelmed right now. I mean, I've already been down and checked out the U-Haul trailers to see what it costs to get out of here. All right? I mean, I've tried to pray, and I can't find God. I mean, I just have a sadness and a despair, and I try every distraction. Someone told me I just need to find a hobby, so I went and found 15, and you know what? I'm still depressed. Everybody's against, I mean, I swear. I mean, everybody I turn to where I think I'm going to get help, either they don't seem to care, or they're absolutely part of the grand conspiracy to drive me crazy. It's affecting me physically, preacher. I can't sleep at night. I have panic attacks, if you want to call them that. I mean, I fear and trembling. And you know what? All I can think about almost every day is, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Okay? There's a place to go. And it's not Rifle, Colorado. There's a place to go. Go, if you will, now over to Psalm 61, and let me introduce the message tonight. Psalm 61, because, man alive, if you can't come back tonight and I leave you there, you might go kill yourself. You know, I got to give you something here. Psalm 61, listen to me. Watch this. This is the key chapter that you have to live in while you're shrouded. Psalms 61 is a life preserver that keeps you from drowning. I promise you. And you know what? You'll read it the first time, say, preacher, it didn't help. Then you'd read it again. And then you break it down in every word. Then you break it down in every phrase. And then you get on your knees and you read it. But I'm telling you, this is the help. God did not leave us without an answer. Here it is. Let me give you the first 3 points of tonight's message. Number one, you know what God wants you to do. Why is God doing this, preacher? Why is he doing that? The first thing you've got to do is kneel down. Look at verse number one. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Well, so preacher, I've tried that. I know, but you've got to do it. Well, preacher, I know, just do it. You know what? You got to get on your knees. Preacher, I've talked to this person. I've seen this doctor. You know what? I thought this friend would understand. They don't care. They don't seem to understand. I've even tried praying. Listen, I'm not talking about now I lay me down to sleep stuff. You know what? There's times during times like this that you've got to take a day. You've got to take a couple days. You've got to go find God. I'm talking about, you know what? You go somewhere. Now, don't go clear to Colorado. Go somewhere, though. Take some time. This is time to walk to the back of the field and get on your knees. This is time to go over to Shacamack State Park and park your car and get on one of those trails and find a secluded place out in the middle of nowhere and get on your face and just say, God, if you don't do something and something don't change in my heart, and if I don't hear from you, I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, the Bible says this in Psalms 34:18. I love this. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Say, preacher, why is God doing this to me? Why is he allowing these things to come into my life? He's trying to get you to the place where you have no other place to go and no other place to look except to him. And you know what? That's a wonderful thing. I'm talking about getting on your knees. Well, preacher, I prayed. Come on now. I'm not talking about this complaining to God stuff. I'm talking about getting by yourself somewhere and getting on your knees. And next thing you know, you find yourself on your face. And you know what? You don't know if you've been there 15 minutes or 15 hours. But all I know is this, God, I can't get up till something changes. And I can't get up till something happens. And God, I need you. And you know what? When God gets a Christian to that point, because you know what, folks? If he doesn't allow these things to come to us, we'll run through all of our Christian life and just literally throw him a few bones here and there. And he don't want a few bones. He wants you. He wants you. And so you know what you do? Number one, you kneel down. Number two, simple, you cry out. You kneel down, then you cry out. I'm going to give you the first three steps, and the first three steps has to do with getting to God. Kneel down and cry out. Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is when? Overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so you know what you do from the end of the earth. I mean, this thing's driven you to the last edge of the last cliff of this earth. And you know what you're going to do? You're not going to jump. You're going to start crying to God. You're going to get on your knees and you're going to start crying to God. And you know what? You don't quit crying until you get an answer. Psalms 55:16-18. For as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. And isn't it interesting, folks, that evening and morning and at noon will I pray? You know, that we sing the scripture song about and that we quote, do you understand that that verse is found right in the middle of the chapter where David is describing the symptoms of being overwhelmed? So that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a quick visit. You know, these little 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 60-second, 30-second prayers, listen, has it fixed anything? Well, I prayed. Well, you better get somewhere and pray. Well, preacher, I don't have time. You need to take the time. I think God's a little tired of hearing I ain't got time. And he took time to send his son. Jesus took time to die on the cross. You know, sometimes what God has done, you talk about hiding himself. David became convinced God was hiding himself. Well, you know what? Sometimes God has to hide himself to get us to stop long enough to take some time to try to find him. Okay? I mean, one of the illustrations that I think is perfect in this, you ever had your little children when they were young? Ladies, you're taking them through the store, and you know kids always want to run ahead. Stay by mama. Now you're going to get lost. Stay by mama. And you know what? I'd be surprised if there's not a mom in here that hasn't done this. You just get tired of telling them. So you know what you do? One of them runs ahead, and you go over and you slip behind a rack of clothes. And they're just skipping along and skipping along. And they look back and, Mom? Mom? And by the way, don't come out yet because the fun's just beginning, all right? Stay there. Stay there. They're not going to remember it if it's not traumatic. They're not going to remember it. Mom? Mom! Mom! And you're back there going, ladies are looking at you going, naughty, naughty, naughty. Most of them are going, good idea, all right? Mom! And by the way, then you step out back into the aisle and here they come running and guess what? For the next half hour or so, they got a hold of your skirt. I mean, you know, you can't go anywhere and they're holding up. And you know what? Maybe God just wants us to hold on to him a little bit. Stop running ahead and stop running off. Stop thinking we can do everything without him. And so God says, okay, you keep running ahead. I'll just let you go ahead. You don't really need my advice? Okay, let me step over here to the side for a while. Let me just let you kind of do this thing, you know. And I'm not talking about getting into sin. I'm talking about just living life. You think you can preach? You can preach without me? Then I'll just kind of step over here and let you do it. You got that Sunday school class under control? You don't need to pray anymore about it? Okay, I'll just kind of step over here. Cheers, you go ahead. You think you got this bus route thing down, you know, and, you know, you're good night. You've been doing it 20 years, so you don't have to. You know what God does sometimes? He just kind of steps over and says, okay, I want you to want me. I want you to need me. Okay? So I'm gonna let some things come into your life that honestly is just going to overwhelm you. And you know what? You're going to cry for a while, and I'm not going to answer. And I'm just going to hide for a while. And when I sense that you're broken and I sense that you're contrite, you know what? I'm always nigh into that. I'll come. But you know what, folks? Listen to me. God's trying to teach us something. Good Christians, he's trying to teach us something. You need me. You need me. You need me. You've kind of forgotten me. You need me. And so you know what? I'll just step back and let the world overwhelm you and life overwhelm you until you realize how bad you need me. And so cry out. Cry out. Say, preacher, what do I cry? What do I pray? I want you now to leave Psalm 61. This is where we'll finish. Go to Psalms 143. What do I pray? Preacher, I try to pray, and I've tried to pray, and it seems like nothing's getting through. I don't even know what to pray anymore. Lord, I just get before God, and it's not like it's like he's not there, and it's like I don't know what to say, and what do I pray? I'm going to encourage you to do something. By the way, let me just kind of explain something so we get comfortable with this idea that I'm going to give you right now. I went to preach in a church. You know, we have our ushers come forward. They did the same thing. The preacher walks up, calls on one of the ushers and says, would you lead us in a prayer? And the man bowed his head, by the way, very kind of quiet man. You know, looked like he was a veteran Christian, looked like he'd been there a while. He's usher in the church. You know what he did? He bowed his head and he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sinned against us. Lead us not to temptation. And you know what my first reaction was, what's he doing? And then all of a sudden I got to thinking, he's praying what Jesus told him to pray. Do you realize how many prayers are in the Bible? You see, what we did, and by the way, I'm not for prayer books that are written by Catholics or Lutherans or Episcopalians. I'm not for that stuff. I am for this as a prayer book. Some of the best prayers you can ever pray, you'll pray right from the pages of the Bible. Could I say Psalms 143, if it's prayed from your heart, is the prayer that will help you to recover and help you to get out of being overwhelmed. Here's what it is. I'll read it. I'm going to encourage you to begin to pray it. I mean, if you honestly, preacher, you couldn't have timed this message any better in my life. I need this so bad. I need this like oxygen. I need this like a man about to die of thirst, like needs a cup of water. I am giving you something. Please listen. I ask you to do it. I would 3, 4, 5, 6, I don't care if it's 10, 12 times a day. I'd leave my Bible opened on a couch somewhere to Psalms 143, and I'd walk over, and I would kneel down, and I would pray this prayer until my tears made it so that I couldn't read the page. What is the prayer? Here it is. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He's smitten my life down to the ground. He made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all the works, all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. By the way, it hasn't always been like it is now. We're going to talk about that tonight. Think back. Think back. Hear me. I stretch forth my hand, verse 6, unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That psalm right there on a normal, regular day is a good psalm. That psalm, even when you're overwhelmed, if you just read it, is a good psalm. But when you are where I'm talking about, and you start down through there, and you pray that a phrase at a time, something will begin to happen in your heart and in your life that will cause a little light to shine in and start giving you some clarity. Read it, pray it, do it slow. Do it a phrase at a time. Stop and listen to what God has to say back to you. Because you know what? I'm done. Look right up here. During times like this, you may have the greatest husband in the world, but there's some things a husband can't help with. You may have the greatest wife in the world. There's some things a wife can't help with you. You may have the greatest family in the world, but there's some paths as a Christian you have to walk on your own. And you know what? God isn't trying to get you to go to your husband or your wife or your children. Excuse me. There's times he just wants you to come to him. So I hope this has been a help to you. We'll pick up there tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Thank you for this amazing psalm, Lord, these three psalms. The one that identifies the problem, the one that presents the cure to the problem, and then, Lord, the prayer of the overwhelmed in Psalms 143. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God. I pray for those that are going through some of the crucibles of life, and Lord, others, dear God, where maybe there's not any big giant thing going on. It's just something in them. And Lord, I want to thank you, dear God, for the times that I've prayed over Psalms 143. These words are very precious to this preacher. And the times, dear God, that you've ministered to my heart and lifted me up and gave me strength and drew me near. And I pray, Lord, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, in times of despair, in times of being overwhelmed, to know that we have a God that loves us and cares about us and is forgiving and will lift up. And I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to find you. We pray in Jesus' name.